No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday, and I hope you're holding out okay under the circumstances. It is expected that by tonight, most of the five biggest metro areas in Texas will be under shelter-in-place orders. The war on the coronavirus, something of a balancing act between stopping its spread and throttling the economy, and steps already taken are having a direct impact with layoffs and business closures statewide. Glenn Hager is tracking all this and advising lawmakers as the state's chief financial officer. Controller Hager, welcome to the Texas Standard.
It's good to be with you again this morning.
Over the weekend, reports say you told Texas lawmakers that both the state budget and the rainy day fund are about to take a hit. What should Texans be bracing for? How much of a hit are we looking at?
Well, that's changing rapidly. I mean, one of the things that I had mentioned to them is all the data that we receive from those that help us put our financial forecast together, as well as investment outfits. We're constantly looking at what the markets are doing, what's going on, not just in Texas, not just in the United States, but literally worldwide. And, you know, unfortunately, the world is literally being hit with a virus pandemic as well as a oil price war, and those two conjunction has a bigger impact on Texas. Now, Texas has historically grown at a faster pace than the national average. However, the point being is it looks as though we're going into a recession because of this worldwide pandemic, and also the combination of the price war, which has drove prices down substantially. And so that's going to be a drag on revenues into the Treasury. And especially when you look around at businesses, you have restaurants closed that are severely hurting. You have all types of consumer spending is being fundamentally changed as people's activities are not being normal. And so therefore, that's going to have an impact on the upcoming budget, the current budget we're in, as well as the Economic Stabilization Fund, which is money comes into that, our state savings account, from oil and gas severance taxes.
And it's that oil and gas industry that a lot of people have been focused on. What sector is likely to be hardest hit as you see it right now?
Well, right now, the hospitality industry, restaurants, whether it's restaurants, hotels, those two are just absolutely being devastated because there's not a restaurant anywhere that has in their business plan that you don't have any patrons in your restaurant for several days, much less several weeks. So people going to the restaurants have gone down. Obviously, they're trying to go to curbside or, you know, drive through, which obviously helps a little bit, but that's still not going to make up the normal activity. Then also you have hotel industry, airline industry, anything to do with travel or discretionary type spending. A lot of those businesses have been shut down. You know, schools are closed, so therefore daycares. No children in daycare. So you have all these different ripple effects. And the question is, how long is this going to last? So then what is that a drag on other types of activities? And so, you know, you're seeing, unfortunately and tragically, unemployment rates are increasing. At the beginning of last week, assumptions from several different sources that we use thought unemployment would go from the record lows of what we have been having, about 3.5% up to 6%. By the end of the week, no, this thing is worse than that, and it's up to probably 9%. And I have no doubt that people are going to start forecasting it's going to be slightly in the low double digits. And so the question how long does the social distancing to try to flatten the curve of this pandemic last and try to get back to normal economic activities? And that's probably going to be quite some time, unfortunately.
Well, let's talk about the solutions, if there are any, for small businesses. I mean, I know people who have relatives who themselves have already been laid off. They've been told they're going to have to have or worse their income, at least for the foreseeable future. This is happening in real time, right? So we're waiting for Congress to step in, and there's been talk about possibly cutting checks, possibly zero interest loans, all those sorts of things. Is there any relief on the horizon for small businesses in Texas, and what kind of relief could make a difference?
Yeah, I think the biggest issue, as you just mentioned, is the action and how quickly it's going to happen in Washington, D.C. You know, whether right, wrong, or indifferent, the state of Texas, we can't print money. The state of Texas can't go into session and add to the deficit. We have a constitutional amendment for so much debt on the state's books. And so therefore, you know, right, wrong, we have to look to D.C. And at least, you know, I know there's been the last couple of days some squabbling. Imagine that in politics. But hopefully they're going to see the severity of this and try to take action very soon. Because as you mentioned, and this is what I've made a point over and over as I talk to people almost all day long, is those that are on, I say, the economic fringes, those that are lower paid and or it's rippling out even further, are losing their jobs and being furloughed. And that is very real and devastating immediately to those individuals and to their families, as well as to the businesses that are trying to figure out a way to stay open and keep their doors open when economic activity does get back going again. So really, it's up to Congress to try to take fast action and try to get those checks into people's hands to get us through this gap until we get back to some type of normal economic activity.
Well, now let me ask you something. As someone who recommends to lawmakers what they should be considering here, would it be advisable, sir, to recommend tapping into the emergency savings fund or the rainy day fund, or do agencies just slash budgets if you start to take a hit, or do some things go unfunded? I mean, what do you do in the interim right now?
Well, right now I've on one of the conference calls with the legislators this weekend, I was asked by one of leadership to look at ways that state agencies should begin to cut their budgets. And I said, well, actually, I've already done that. My team is supposed to get me something this week. I think that directive should be going out very soon to agencies to begin to reduce their budget, but give them the flexibility on how they need to make that happen. That's one. We're probably, without a doubt, going to have to use part of the Economic Stabilization Fund. What it was originally designed for in the late 1980s, when we had the big old bust back then, was to create a state savings account. Therefore, when you have a downturn in the economy, you can use part of that to help balance out the pain of lesser revenues into the Treasury to make sure the critical functions of government continue to keep going. And so, therefore, it's going to have to be a combination, I think, of many different sources. If you look at the current environment that we're in with the virus pandemic and the oil downturn, my staff, we've been looking at data for weeks, trying to find something of similar as we're trying to look into the future without a crystal ball, by the way. We do not have one, but we are trying to look at all the things in the past to figure out, are there predictors for the future? And reality is, there's not a downturn of anything similar to this, but we're using a lot of different pieces that we're trying to forecast. And we think, yes, when I do a new revenue estimate this coming summer, I'm probably going to show that we're going to have a decrease of the current of the revenues for this current budget cycle, decreased by several billion. But we don't know what we just don't have any good data, because sales tax numbers that are coming in now, those collections were in February. Now, the collections that I begin to get towards the back end starting the 20th of next month, that's going to be for March. But as you recall, the people not going into restaurants and the social distancing start till about 10 days ago. So my point being is, it's going to be several months before we see some real numbers in our Treasury revenues that are anyway reflective of what's going on in the economy. So we're trying to jumpstart that and figure out ahead of time similarities in the past so we can begin to predict for the future and know how to get through this.
Just for the sake of listeners, to kind of get a sense of this, let's say that you've got annual sales tax revenue of, and I don't know how much that is, you lop off 2/3 of that. How much are we talking about there?
If you look at the state budget, roughly 1/3 of the state budget is federal dollars, 2/3 are state dollars. Of the state dollars, obviously tax collections is the biggest portion. Of all tax collections, 58% of all tax collections into the state treasury, into the state of Texas, 58% is sales tax. And then another 8% is motor vehicle and rental sales tax. So the point is, you combine those together, that is literally 2/3 of the tax revenue in the state of Texas. So that's the reason I talk a lot about sales tax. And so therefore, on an annual basis, you're talking about billions of dollars, and a swing of that of 5 to 10% one way or another can be significant. Last month, for example, I collected, put into the state treasury, $3 billion in sales tax. So that's a significant amount of money every single month. And when you have a decrease of 5 to 10%, we don't know exactly what that's going to be. We're trying to figure that out, and we're really not going to know for several more months. And obviously, you can never clearly project into the future, but you use past data and what you think is going on in the economy. So it can. That's the reason I say billions, but the state budget overall is roughly $126 billion a year. I mean, that's just a staggering number. So a slight change is going to add up to billions of dollars pretty quickly.
Now, let me ask one other question. You've been awfully generous with your time, and I know you've been super busy, but is there the possibility that the rainy day fund could be depleted by this single event?
Oh, I don't think we want to quite get that far out. Obviously, it has roughly we're expecting it'll have at least $8+ billion come at the end of this current biennium, which is end of August of next year. I do think legislators are going to, obviously use a portion of that. We're going to reduce spending. We're going to do a whole lot of different things, as Texas has always done, to get through these downturns. You never know when a downturn is going to come. However, one is going to come sometime in the future. We've got through these. We're going to get through it again. I don't think we will literally exhaust the whole portion of it in any shape, form, or fashion. However, with that being said, we're just in the beginning days, and we really don't have enough data to figure out where we're going quite yet, but we're trying to get there.
Glenn Hager is keeping an eye on this as the state's chief financial officer, controller of the state of Texas. Thank you so much for taking time to
Good
speak
to be
with us,
with
Controller
you. Yeah,
Hager.
great to be with you today.